Loving God, as we think about your word to us today from this amazing Old Testament book of Jonah, speak to us the truth that are contained in these verses. Help us to understand them and apply them to our lives. For this we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. When I was preparing for the service this week, and I thought I would stray from the lectionary for a couple of Sundays. And as I was thinking about what we might think about this morning, the Old Testament book of Jonah came to mind. And I thought it would fit nicely over 2 weeks that we would look at Jonah chapters 1 and 2 today in this morning's service, and chapters 3 and 4 next Sunday in our morning service. And it's one of those books that fits quite well with just over 2 Sundays length. So I've split today's reading into the 2 chapters. So as Julian's just read to us the whole of chapter 1, we're going to think about this under the heading of the protest. The Jonah protests against God. In our house, I don't know how many people subscribe to Netflix. Don't know how many people have made that jump. And if you're looking at me thinking, what on earth is Netflix? Netflix is a streaming of films and box sets and programs and things live on the internet. Well, not they're not live, but you can watch them on the internet. And our kids are really into watching things at the moment on Netflix. And I walked into the lounge the other day and Millie had the film Evan Almighty on. I don't know if anybody's ever seen the film Evan Almighty. It's ages since I watched it. I think it was first filmed in 2007, I think. And it's one I've not seen for a while. So I sat and watched about half an hour of it with her this week. And it's about a man called Evan Baxter who's just been elected to Congress in America. And he did so on the political promise of changing the world. And because of that, if you like, manifesto promise, he then got voted into Congress. And he prayed for that as well, I believe, in the film. And in the film, God turns up in the guise of Morgan Freeman and commands him to build an ark. And it's a story, pretty much, of Noah. And I won't say any more because I don't want to spoil it for anybody who does want to watch it. But his first response, despite having gone on that promise of changing the world, his first response was to try and run away from God. Not necessarily physically, like Jonah did, but to get away from God, to try and ignore God in the film. And Morgan Freeman keeps popping up here, there and everywhere. And this is one of the scenes, or the image there of Morgan Freeman just popping up and challenging Evan. That came back to mind as I was thinking and preparing for today, that film of Evan Almighty. Jonah depicted in many ways what our faith can be like. We commit to God, and yet sometimes when God calls us to do something or go somewhere, to speak out about something, we can do an Evan Baxter or we can do a Jonah and run in the opposite direction. Jonah is a prophet and God instructs him to go to Nineveh and call them to repentance. And what does Jonah do? He runs in the opposite direction. Now, Nineveh is a place we don't hear a huge amount of in the Bible, but it's the capital of Assyria. And Assyria was Israel's most feared and dreaded enemy. The Israelites hated them because of what had gone on in the past with them not supporting them and helping them, and not being nice to them. It was regarded as a bit of an evil empire. And it was to this city that God called Jonah to challenge them to repentance for the wrong that they had done. And Jonah runs away. But not just in any direction, the total opposite direction to where Nineveh is. And you can see on the map there that Nineveh is over 550 miles roughly east of Joppa, and Jonah heads 2,500 miles the other way, or at least he embarks on a boat to take him to Tarshish. Sometimes when God asks us to do something and that mountain seems so high to climb, that walk seems so long to walk, we can often head in the opposite direction. And that's exactly what Jonah does here. Sometimes we run because of fear. Sometimes we run because of stubbornness. I recall a conversation with a fellow student at theological college. It was one of those, it wasn't a particularly deep conversation, but it was after chapel worship one morning, and I can picture us now. Bill and I stood at the back of chapel. The lights had been turned out, and we were talking about whatever the student that particular morning had been saying in chapel. And it was something to do with a call to ministry and their call to ministry. And I remember Bill saying to me, he said, "I envy you. I felt a call to ministry when I was your age, early 20s. And at this point, Bill was probably mid-50s. He said, "And I suppressed it. I had a family. I had a good job. I had people who were dependent on me." He said, "And to some degree, I ran away from God's call." He said, "And now I envy you." And it was an interesting conversation as it unfolded and we talked. And I always think about that when I think about the story of Jonah. And that's not in any way to judge Bill. Not in any way to judge him and his response to God's call. But sometimes the enormity of God's call can mean that we try and push it away, try and close our ears to it, or like Jonah, we try to run away. And yet I'm sure we all know and believe that when God calls, God also equips. So in some way our heart might say, "Yes, I can do that," and our head might be saying, "Hang on a minute, I'm really not sure about this." One commentator I looked at this week in preparations for today says rather uncomfortably these words: "You cannot seek God's love and run away from him at the same time." You cannot seek God's love and run away from him at the same time. And I don't know, as I read those words, they really struck within me, and I thought, "Oof, ouch," because it can be so easy to run away. And however uncomfortable they are, I do believe that they are true. We cannot seek God's love and God's plan and purpose in our lives if we then run away from the one who calls and equips us to be his people. And Jonah soon realized that he couldn't run from God. Not even putting 3,000 miles between him and Nineveh could mean he avoided God's call, God's reach, and God's command. And the words in 1 John 2, 3-6, we read, "Now by this we may know that we know him, if we obey his commandments. Whoever says, 'I have come to know him,' but does not obey his commandments is a liar, and in such a person the truth does not exist. But whoever obeys his word, truly in this person the love of God has reached perfection. By this we may be sure that we are in him. Whoever says, I abide in him, ought to walk just as he walked. When we walk in the ways of God, when we follow God through Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can simply pursue what God wants of us, not protest against it. But it is good to know that God is forgiving and will forgive those who confess their faith, put their trust in him, and like Jonah and like we will hear next week, do what God wants of us. Let us pray. Almighty God, as Jonah protested against what you asked of him, you did not give up on him. You did not leave him or forsake him, abandon him or allow him to drown. But Lord, you met with him and changed his heart. Help us to believe and trust that you can do likewise for each one of us. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.